everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And we are here today to talk about the finale of The Way Home. Very exciting. Lots to talk about. A little overwhelmed, a little excited. And I am from Critic Rachel Wagner. And Betsy from All Our Cap News is here.
Hello, everybody.
Yay.
Hello, Rachel.
How are you doing?
Oh, I am pretty well. Just taking in the abundance of projects that Hallmark's throwing at us. It's a little overwhelming. There's so much. But other than that, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. And the same. There's so much to cover.
Just
in the world of rom-coms. And we did a April preview, and we had probably half a dozen projects from other studios besides Hallmark. In everything from Disney Channel to Amazon to Netflix, you know, and just like, oh my gosh, they're keeping us busy just talking about rom-coms these days.
Gosh, so. Just the streamer, so much content. Yeah. it's crazy. I mean, they definitely give fans a variety of things to watch. So it's great.
Yeah. Well, we haven't talked to you since, I don't think we've talked to you since Christmas, right?
That is right. That is right. Yeah.
So how was your holidays?
You know, I can't even remember. It's like, I saw something online, said we're 25% done with the year, with 2023. And I'm just like, it does feel like it was just Christmas time, but I think it was good. How was yours?
You're like, no trauma that I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does feel like forever ago. That's very true. It's been very snowy, winter for us here in Utah.
That must be nice though.
We've had the most snow we've had in like 100 years. It's been, I mean, we desperately needed it because like the Great Salt Lake is drying up and our other resources are, you know, we'd had about a decade of drought, so we really needed it, but at the same breath I think we're ready to move on.
Oh, totally. That's crazy. Well, yeah, you want as much snowpack, as they say, on the Weather Channel.
Yes. I'm glad that you've had a pretty good 2023. And since this is the first time we've had you on The Way Home recap, why don't you tell us, what have you thought of the show so far?
It was much darker than I was expecting for the network that you think of warm fuzzy things, and I was just like, my goodness. But you know, there were some light moments, especially in the beginning, but I thought it was an interesting direction that they're taking, and I've enjoyed going along on the journey. Two things I'm trying to think. One, I know we talked about Outlander, so we both enjoyed the time travel aspect of things, so that's been kind of fun. And I don't know, did you watch The Time Traveler's Wife on HBO Max?
I didn't see that show. But yeah, I did think of Outlander a number of times, especially with the whole Nick plotline. That kind of
felt. That's true.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. And then, of course, like touching the stone, jumping in the pond. Definitely a unique thing. And I think it's cool for Hallmark to take on something very different. And it's been interesting to see everyone's response to it. So good job on taking such a creative direction. Yeah.
It's been a really fun show. I was nervous about it at first because I'm not that big a fan of like angsty teen dramas, are not my favorite. And I mean, even though we interviewed Sadie and she seemed like such a sweet young lady, a lot of times those shows just are not for me. They're not made for me. So that's fine. So I was a little bit hesitant on that level, but it really drew me in. I think it's a really fun show to watch in the moment because everybody has their sort of their theories and their ideas of what's going on. So it's a fun show to kind of talk about and, you know, water cooler show, as they would have said in the 90s.
Yes, exactly. Definitely keeps you on your toes, and great to see Andy back in a Hallmark project. Did you watch Cedar Cove?
I've watched some of it. We actually did a couple of years ago. We did it was fun. We did a pilot face-off, I guess you'd call it, where we watched Cedar Cove, Army Wives, and Heartland. And then we recorded recaps of each of those. And we said, whoever gets the most votes and the most views we'll continue on and cover the whole series. It was a fun thing to do. We should do it again. But Heartland won by a huge margin. So then we ended up covering Heartland, which was very daunting because it's, you know, now it's just starting. They just finished in Canada, at least, but starting here in the U.S., the 16th season. So it took me and Michelle, it took us over 2 years to cover Heartland.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Three episodes every week for 2.5 years. And they're 42 minute episodes. So that it was a lot. It was fun.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Good on you for sticking with it. Well, you would get through Cedar Cove much faster. Yes. I think it was 3 seasons. So, and it's a great watch. I would totally recommend it.
Yeah. Well, and Andy McDowell's been in so many great projects, of course, Groundhog Day and Four Weddings and Funeral. And I mean, just so many classic films.
I think Magic Mike too.
Oh, she's in that.
I think I saw that.
Oh, yeah. She is also in Green Card, which I love that movie too. It's really fun.
I've not heard of that.
Yeah, it's fun. About this couple. She wants to keep her apartment, but it's only for married couples, I think. And then he wants to stay in the U.S., and so they create this lie that they're married. And it's fun.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Definitely adding that to my list.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've enjoyed this show a lot. It's been fun, especially after the episode airs and the little group chat that we have with the co-hosts. It'll be like a hive. Like everyone will be like, oh, what do you think of this? And what do you think of this? And, oh, what's going on here? And everybody just, it's fun. It kind of reminds me of WandaVision in that way, that was on Disney Plus. And that was even more so because it was like in the heart of the pandemic. And so we were even more desperate for for things to talk about and things to mm-hmm. But it kind of reminds me of that in that way. But yeah, so this is the finale. We've had a lot of questions. Because of course it started out, the whole series started out with 1814. And so I've just been looking for clues this whole time because we've had so little. The only time travel we've had has been to 1999. And mm-hmm. I must say that has been fun as well because I graduated from high school in, well, technically it was 1998 and I went to community college my senior year of high school. So that was in 1999. So this was like a very memorable year for me, 1999. So all the like music and other references and all this stuff. And it's been kind of weird because I'm like, I don't feel old enough for my high school year, senior year, to be like the nostalgic year. Oh, look way back in 1999.
Absolutely. It's funny. I talked to Alex Hook and we were like, I was like, this kind of almost like a period piece because it's almost 30 years ago. I mean, at least the 90s were 30 years ago. And she was like, my parents would lose it if they heard me calling the 90s a period project.
It's true though. I mean, if we think about Back to the Future, it's the same thing as when he was going back into the 60s. It's the same as us going back to the 90s. And it's just wild.
Ho, ho, ho. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies podcasts, especially at Christmas?
Do you enjoy the holiday previews, recaps, interviews, and bonus episodes?
If the answer is yes, please consider supporting the Hallmarkies Patreon. We need your help to do what we do both during the Christmas season and all year round.
But not only do you help a podcast led by strong, independent women by becoming a Patreon, you get to become a part of the Hallmarkies family.
Starting at only $2 a month as a patron, you will have access to our Facebook Patreon group where we talk about the movies, shows, and more all year.
We also have many monthly patron watch-alongs with guests like Lacey Chabert, Natalie Hall, Paul Campbell, Mary Lou Henner, and more, giving their behind-the-scenes details of their films.
As a patron, you also have the chance to provide input into the podcast and even join us at different tiers.
So this Christmas season, spread some cheer to the Hallmarkies Patreon and become a member today. You won't regret it.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies to learn more.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
A lot of changes, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. So we, this episode, the finale, is called Not All Who Wander Are Lost. And it's Kat and Alice attend Colton's funeral. Del goes to the grief group and makes peace with her memory of Colton. And Kat has a new theory about Jacob. So overall, how did you feel about the finale? Did you think that it was a good, satisfying finale, or how did you feel?
As so many of the best finales do, I feel like they wait till the last minute to really have some sort of cliffhanger there. Yeah. And I thought this one was no exception, because it kind of was like, oh, you know, it was kind of like closure all over through the place. And then all of a sudden at the end with that baseball getting put up. And I was like, and it looked like an old baseball. So that kind of made instantly, I was like, And you're right. You were wondering, when is it going to, the very opening scene of the series, when are we going to get back to that? And it closed it out with that. So it was kind of creatively very well, like, wrapped up and a little, not totally wrapped up, but a bow, like tying the beginning with the end. I liked that.
Yeah. I thought there was enough tied up, enough answers to not be annoying. But then there was enough teases for the future as well. Like, it was both that I think was pretty satisfying. And yeah, it made you think to go back to all the times when you'd seen the dog and the dog being wet and be like, oh, yeah,
you're so right. Okay. This is, I know, because Ride's coming out and it's a Western, but do you watch any Westerns? Because I have a connection here. I'm not totally going off track.
I don't watch much, but I do watch Heartland, which is kind of, I guess.
Well, there's an Amazon Prime video. They had a Western come out last year called The English with Emily Blunt and Chaskey Spencer. Did you hear about that? Okay, well, it's had an opening scene and that kind of didn't connect with the rest of the series, and then they kind of close it out. So I decided after I finished it, I'm going to rewatch the beginning, and then it's kind of like, it all makes sense how they tied it together. And I feel like that was the same with this. So it's kind of like something you can even go back and rewatch, like The Way Home, and be like, saying the dog was what? That makes sense. Yeah. So it's interesting how they know what they're doing.
Is that about like an Amish person, the English?
No, it's about Emily Blunt comes over to seek, you know, revenge on somebody, and she ends up connecting with a Pawnee soldier, and it's very good. I highly recommend it. You should watch it, because you appreciate, you know, all sorts of different films and series. You should watch it. It's very good.
Because this was like the Amish call, the non-Amish English.
You're right. This is definitely not like that.
Okay.
Definitely not.
One of our listeners last time totally called it on the dog. This is Life According to Theo. He says, don't forget that the dog can time travel also. It's mentioned that Jacob has a dog he's always going to see. Then during the first episode farm tour, Del tells Alice that her dog can't stay away from the pond. The dog comes running past soaked. It's presumably the same dog. Maybe Jacob follows someone or the dog into the pond. Ding, ding, ding. You're brilliant. Life According to Theo.
Life According to Theo. I think you are the writer of this series.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the one thing I was like slightly frustrated with is that I was expecting more conflict as far as like the guilt that they would feel about causing Colton's death. Like, they did bring it up, but then it was pretty quickly like, no, that's not your fault. Don't feel bad about that. And I'm like, I think I would need a little bit more than just someone telling me don't feel bad about that. Like, if that had happened and you literally had your father look into your eyes before he dies and say, you know, like, that would be major trauma. So I was a little tiny bit frustrated with that at the beginning, that it was just kind of like, it's your fault.
Because it was the most serious thing, more than Jacob. I mean, because that was out of their hands. This was like directly related to it.
They could either either they had interrupted the timeline and started a new timeline where now this was the cause of his death, or they had merged themselves into the OG timeline so that they were the cause of his death, but from the very beginning, I don't know. That's the confusing thing about time travel.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm trying to think, like I mentioned Time Traveler's Wife and like Outlander, it's like, no matter what you do, the same result happens. I kind of wish something would happen to mm-hmm. where it affected the future.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Because I mean, like I've watched those, both of those shows that I just mentioned, and it's kind of the same concept. It doesn't matter what you do, you can't change. I wish there was something like, cause she could bring the business card back, you know, from the support group. I'm like, there's got to be something. I want something to affect it in the future. You know, that's just me personally, because it's like I've seen this before.
Yeah, or that there would be somehow two timelines all kind of coming at the same time. Like it's not, at first I thought, oh, they're going to be kind of a multiverse with like multiple versions of them. If people have seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, that's kind of the idea behind that movie, is there's sort of this multiverse that's been created. And it's like, is that what's happening? Or is just the original timeline being interrupted and recreated? I don't know. It is, but I thought that, I mean, I hope that in the future they do kind of deal with that a little bit more, but because if that's all it is, it's just like one conversation where it was all my fault and then that's it. I don't know. That's a little not how I would have done it, but, and then Alice says it was my fault. And she says, you chose me over your dad. And then, Kat says, I will always choose you over everyone, which is an interesting statement. I mean, I guess most mothers would agree, but I don't know. I thought that was interesting. Even over her own father, I guess.
Yeah, because that's, interesting. Mm-hmm. I guess, however you interpret that. Yeah.
So Brady is visiting. He has the divorce papers and... there was a whole scene where Brady and Elliot are having coffee together and he says, I know you have feelings for her and your time is now. And in hard times, she would reach out to you first. It hurt. I knew how lucky I was to have her. So some people on Twitter were saying that like they saw it as Brady being rude, that he was like giving his permission and why did he... you know, need to do that. I didn't really see it that way. I thought he was kind of saying like, we're friends. I see it. It's not going to be weird. You know,
maybe like, he was like giving him his blessing or something.
Yeah. 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 Kind of give, not that they need his blessing, but I think he was just saying like, I'm cool. Like, I don't know. I didn't see it as something rude. Did you see it as rude?
No, I just think he's acknowledging, like, I don't know. It was just because they knew each other as teenagers.
Yeah.
So I didn't think it was, I don't know. It's hard to, I don't know how to take Brady. I don't know how to when I think of him.
Yeah, a lot of people hate Brady, and he did cheat on her, so that's not good. But I felt like he has been kind of trying to make things right.
Yeah, so it's always like,
I don't hate Brady.
Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, I didn't. I shouldn't have blah blah blah. It's like on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Did you watch that? And Joel is like, I'm like, Joel. No, I'm Brady.
Yeah. So then they go to the funeral, and Alice and Kat, and Alice is kind of rude to young Elliot, to teen Elliot, and she says, can you get me? I don't understand exactly why Alice can't like go get her own clothes. Like, she could get them from teen Kat, or she could just buy some clothes there. Like, I don't really understand why she needs to do that, but needs him to do that. Plus, not only does she want one pair of clothes from Elliot, she wants two to choose from. I thought that was a little rude.
Yeah, especially, I guess, given the circumstance and situation. I don't know. Did it really, like, add to the storyline? Was that...
No.
Did that make sense?
I mean, they were trying to show that, like, Elliot's kind of been used and abused by this whole thing from the very beginning.
Poor Elliot.
Yeah, that he's been at the... his life has been kind of put on hold at the mercy of the... whether it's Alice or Kat. And so they're kind of trying to make it all build up to what he decides at the end. But I kind of agreed with him, because I'm just like, why couldn't she have gotten her own clothes or figured it out herself, or certainly not need two? That seems much
excessive. I see what you're saying, like, because that kind of his adult self, it shows him like he's kind of just, I can't think of the word. But just not a pawn in their game, but he's just like, hey, you do this for me, and he's like, okay, I'll do whatever, but then he's like, I'm gonna stand up for myself. So I see that. Okay, you've helped me see this in a new light, Rachel.
No. Okay.
Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by W Rated, the podcast where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Join me, Daisy.
And me, Claire, as we break down the IMDb bottom 100, choosing a different film from the list every episode.
We take a deep dive into the plot, production, release, and reviews, usually with a special guest, to uncover if these films are truly as bad as everyone says they are.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple, Good Pods, and anywhere else you find your podcasts.
So they end up going to the funeral, and Kat is hiding behind a tree, and Alice is there, and she does tell Alice that the funeral is the last time that she saw Alice as growing up in her memory. And so that's, you know, kind of interesting. And then Del sees Kat hiding behind the tree, and she thinks that it's the woman that that Colton was having an affair with or something, and that, you know, kind of stays, they have that moment. And it is kind of interesting that you wouldn't remember I guess it's far enough in a distance, you wouldn't remember that this person you've seen looks exactly like your daughter, but you do think that, like, they would remember Alice and being like, you looked like new Alice looks exactly like old Alice.
Like, especially Del. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be.
You just have to go with it.
Yeah. And we have this whole thing where they say that that Elliot always speaks in riddles. And life must be lived for, but can only be understood backward. What they say.
It sounds like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
which makes sense. There you go. Because she is named Alice and they reference the book. So yeah, it's kind of riddles. Yeah.
Yep. And then Del has the grief counselor card that was found in Colton's clothes, And I guess they're still doing these grief counts, these grief meetings things, even in 2022. And so she goes and she meets Carol Fuller, the grief counselor. So she starts to kind of, I don't know, have some closure. And Kat realizes, says, I'm the other woman. I'm the one that she saw at the funeral.
It's such a weird thing. I feel like it's going into like a fun house and you look in a mirror and then there's just reflection. You're like, you know what I mean? Like you see a reflection and the other reflection and it just like goes on and on forever. It's like such like, I don't know. It's just an odd thing. This time travel concept that people have created. It's just like, you're looking in a mirror and looking into that mirror and it always continues. It's just, you know, does that make sense?
And you want to know like, what are the rules of the time travel? Because if it's something like Doctor Who, they go back in time all the time and they never really deal with the repercussions of going back in time. Like he will go and meet with Charles Dickens or Rosa Parks or, you know, all different people. And he saves them from a bind. And then he moves on to the next story and next situation. Sometimes he's in the future. Sometimes he's in the present. And so with this one, we don't really know, especially because the people involved don't pick the time travel. It's all up to this pond where they're going to send them, which is wild.
I'd like to know more about the pond, like what happened like in Rip and Time, like there was a lightning strike or something with like the, you know, the minerals, like what's the story behind that?
We've talked about it before, is the pond the only place that has these powers, or is water in general a port key?
That's true. Like in Outlander, you had a Bandaway, I think, in like the islands, Jamaica or whatever. There were two portals. So I'm very curious to see where they go from here.
Yeah, me too. Because
I'm looking forward to going back in time to the early 1800s. I love period projects. So I'm excited to see them dive into that more.
Well, and so Alice decides to go back one more time. She goes back and she ends up in, not in 1999, but in 2022. And she overhears Del talking with one of the friends. She's written this letter, but she's not going to mail the letter. And she even puts a stamp on it, which I feel like you probably wouldn't do, but nevertheless, for a letter you're not planning on sending. But so Alice sends the letter, which gets this whole thing going. And so that's another timeline that's happening now. And then we have, I think when Alice comes back, I do think it's kind of funny that Brady doesn't say, why are you all wet? She's just he just talks to her like normal. I think like, I would probably be like, why are you sopping wet in the winter?
Who knows? Kids these days.
I guess kids these days. And Brady says, I love you both. And at the there's a recital at the Roxy, and then a guy singing the Way Home song, which was kind of fun. A song that says, talking about the way home. And then Alice sings Colton's song at the recital. And it is very effective on Del. She gets very emotional.
It was. It was a great moment. I thought that was a great choice for that scene. And I was curious how she's going to bring it up. Like, how do you know that? And then, of course, she did. So.
Yeah. And then Kat tells Elliot that she doesn't want to take him for granted anymore. And then he says, I've been a spectator in my own life. I want to be free. I want to live my life now. Because now they've gone through everything. They've gone through the whole thing. They're not going to time travel anymore, at least for Kat. She thinks that. And he says, I need to start a new chapter to see where my own path might lead. And so we get a breakup. How are you feeling about that?
I thought they both did a great job. They're great actors. I was impressed. They seem so real. And, you know, you felt for it because they've known each other forever. So it's not like they just met each other. It's like when you know each other forever, it's a totally different style of breakup because it's like they've been friends forever. So now how does that affect their friendship? And I'm sure they'll end up together probably somehow, maybe in the future. But we'll see.
Well, yeah, especially if the pond decides that they should be together, you know, like what's going to happen? Like, is the next season going to be almost all in 1814? We don't know. Like, we don't know. That would be
wild. I hope so.
I hope so. Yeah, it'd be good. So then we have Alice, Dell, and Kat talking. And she says, these three women are my grief support group. And since you arrived here, you have filled my heart up. And then comes in Flynn, the dog, soaking wet with this baseball that's torn apart. And we found out it's Jacob's ball. And then she looks in and she sees Jacob's initials and other things in the almanac from 1814. And then we see a clip that he had chased the dog once he got dropped off at the house into the pond because the dog jumps into the pond. And then we get, and she says, I know what happened to Jacob. And then we get a little clip with her as the White Witch. Then it was Kat all along who was the White Witch in 1814. And it's pretty wild. So that's kind of our cliffhanger that we get left with Kat in 1814. And that we know that the dog and Jacob have been in 1814. So we don't know if that means that,
wrap it up.
Yeah. Is Del going to now, does she know about the time travel? I don't think she does.
I want her to time travel.
Yeah. But so is she going to end up time traveling? We got a hint that Elliot had time traveled or that he tried to time travel, but he couldn't. I don't know if Colton ever hinted to having time traveled.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarkie in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anna Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies.
Fun of the show is you just have all these different theories and ideas. So Lee Bates also says, so if Colton recognized adult Kat, which means he knows about time jumping, then why couldn't he have jumped to see Adele to the dance? He looked damp in that scene to me, and now here I am getting caught up in the theories. And then Kazutu Akayasa says, so Kat tries to go back and save Jacob. I think she succeeded, but no, she goes back to save Colton and causes the crash. What next? Also, was the mystery woman at Colton's funeral support group person or Kat? So now we know it was Kat. So Casey, our friend Casey, she has a bunch of theories and she created this whole like timeline. I wish that this wasn't just an audio medium and you could see the timeline that she's made. But she says in the modern timeline, 24 years have passed since Jacob went missing. We know that time lapses in the time travel is the same as does in modern day. So 1 hour time travel in 1999, 1 hour time in present day. And we know this because Elliot tells this to Alice in episode 2. Elliot says the amount of time you're gone is equal to the amount of time you spend back then. In theory, this could mean that if Jacob fell into the pond in 1999, he could have time traveled and got stuck in 1790, since time passes at the same speed for the time traveler who is in the past. 24 years passing from 1790 means that 1814 would be 2023. So what she's saying is that since the time is the same, if they found him in 1814 and it's 23 years later than when he went in, right, then that would mean he went in at 1790.
Whoa, she's and- so smart.
So will Jacob be an old man when Kat is trying to get him back in 1814? I don't think like an old man, but like a grown up. Yeah.
Wow. That'll be so interesting to see.
Yeah.
I'm sure they pay attention to those details and they have something planned about the age and everything. That's crazy. I'd love to see them focus on his character. Like when he first, I'm sure they will, emerges from the pond in a different time frame. I mean, being a young kid like that, I can't even imagine like if that was something real that could happen. I'm curious to see how they play that out.
Yeah. Because she says old man, meaning like 32 years old and not a little boy. And then she has another theory. She says, if season 2 is all about getting Jacob back, what if Kat tries to make sure Jacob doesn't fall into the pond again and succeeds at returning young Jacob from the past back in 1999 and the Kat returns to 2023? What if that time paradox somehow then erases Alice from existence? This now creates something even more complicated in getting her back. My thoughts here are that if Jacob never disappeared, Colton might still be alive because he never would have gone to grief support group. Brady and Kat might have just been a teen fling because she likely wouldn't have gone to the U.S. for school since she was so close to her family. No Brady and Kat, no Alice. So that would be an interesting way for them to go. So if she goes back to 1790 and she brings young Jacob back to 1999 and things go on like as if he hadn't died, then yeah, I think she's right. Then she probably Kat wouldn't have gone with Brady to school, and they probably wouldn't have gotten married and probably wouldn't have had Alice. So then what, does Alice disappear? And so then she would then, because she's just said she would literally give up her father for Alice in the episode. So is now she going to, because he wouldn't have been going to grief support group, wouldn't have died. So is now she going to try to go back again or something like that to bring Alice back?
But then it's like everything they've done so far, there's no changing the outcome. So that will be.
But if you think about it, nothing that they have done so far has actually changed anything that happened. Like she thought she changed everything by dropping him at home, so he didn't get like abducted at the carnival. But if that's not actually what happened, he went in the pond with the dog, right? Nothing was actually changed. And in the car crash with Colton, nothing was actually changed either. Like he still died. It was just like a different reason. And so if they somehow stopped them from getting married, that would be a concrete change that's different from the OG timeline. And that would make Alice disappear, because if they don't get married, they wouldn't have had Alice. And yeah, I mean, and yeah. they could not do any of this. This is what's fun about the show, is to talk about it. And I just hope that they have this mapped out. I mean, I'd hope that it, because shows like Lost, you know, like started with like all this potential and all this intrigue, and then you get the feeling that after a couple seasons they were just making it up as they went, that like the show lasted longer than they thought, and they were just like and that's why I think it ended kind of in an unsatisfactory way for most people, because like we as an audience had been keeping track of everything And so that to just end up that it was purgatory and it was just kind of like, oh, that was lame. And so I just hope that they have an end game. They have a vision for what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe it's just me as an audience member. I kind of like to be shocked. I kind of like something unexpected to happen. I don't want to feel like, okay, I know how this is going to end. You know?
That's true. And I don't necessarily like need my vision to be correct, but it has to like kind of make sense and not feel like, like that was so frustrating about the How I Met Your Mother ending, is that it just didn't make sense with like everything that we'd been told about the characters, what they want out of life, where they are. It did not make sense. It was not a satisfactory way to, like, literally they had spent 9 seasons telling us that Ted and Robin were incompatible and not right for each other. So to end with them together, it was very unsatisfying and frustrating. So it has to feel, even if it's not the ending that I would want, it has to feel logical.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch The Vampire Diaries?
I never have. Yeah. I've heard about it though.
So good. There were some shocking moments, like in, you don't expect it. At least there's twists. Like, I think at this point in the show, it could be too predictable. If they continue, there's no change. Like nothing they do can affect anything. I want something unpredictable to happen.
Because if you think about it, if they're going to be going back all the way to 1790, 1814, they have a lot of changes that can mess things up and it could get very messy with, that's generations that have to then like purchase the farm and the pond and make sure that it's there for 1999 and, you know, all the things that have to kind of be put in place in order. There's a lot of things that could disrupt and cause, you never know, like would something cause Colton to not meet Del or to not fall in love, or would they break up, or, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do with this story to make intrigue and to make, especially when you're dealing with like multiple generations. My guess is that they won't be jumping around time that much just because it would be super expensive, but there's a lot of, they don't necessarily have to go with the Brady and Kat didn't get married, didn't have Alice goes away, like that plot line. It's just it's just from our friend Casey, a theory that could be fun. But I think there's going to be something like that where they find Jacob, but I mean, it's possible that Jacob buys the farm and then he has in the, like, so that it'll be in the family. We don't know.
Go back. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, it looks like a pretty old farm.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So why wouldn't they? Yeah. They could go back in 1814 and he's like a farmer on the farm. I mean, we just don't know. So it's going to be super fun. And I am going to have my eyes on casting lists and stuff for the next year because I'm dying to know who they're going to cast as adult Jacob.
Ooh, Tyler Hines. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think that would be crazy.
As a farmer in the 1800s, there you go.
Yeah. Or love that. Yeah. I'm trying to think who is the, who would be the best of our Hall stars to be? I think Tyler's probably a little too old to be a 32-year-old. How old is Tyler?
We'll have to think about this and come up with like a, you should do like a green.
30, I guess not. He's 36. So he would be okay. Well,
he's so old. No, I'm just kidding. He's totally young. He's young. He's a young whippersnapper.
So anyway, it's just interesting. It's very, very interesting to see. Like, they could think that Jacob was like a great, great grandfather when actually he was Jacob, which is wild.
I'd like to look at that family list and see if there are any relatives with the name Jacob that he just happened to be named after. That's really him.
Yes. But, I kind of wonder if we're going to see Colton again, like if we're, I mean, I think we're going to see him as they go through time and different things, but if like he's, if he will always die there, or if there's going to be a thread or some way that they make him not die. But if they made him not die, then you know, then how does that impact things? I don't know. It's fascinating, and it kind of makes my brain hurt at the same time.
Oh my gosh. It's been so fun talking about this with you, though. It's definitely opened my eyes into different things that I wouldn't have thought of. And I'm sure everyone listening as well will be like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. So thank you for talking about this with me. This was really fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. Thank you so much. And if everybody can leave their comments in the comment section, we'd really appreciate it, or on Twitter. And Betsy, where can people find you and your content?
Oh, absolutely. You can find me on Instagram at Hallmark Happenings. You can just Google Hallmark Happenings and every social link pops up. But yeah, YouTube, all that good stuff, just Hallmark Happenings. And there you go.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes, to check that out. Also, make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. That really helps us a lot. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. I really appreciate that. And we also have the Patreon group and merch store, so check that out. And that's a good opportunity. We kind of talk in the Patreon group about this crazy show. So definitely check out the Patreon group. And thanks so much, Betsy. I really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Rachel. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I cannot wait to see what happens on season 2 of The Way Home. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Bye, everyone.